We're holding on page Lamedfess, the first line of the wide lines, middle of Osayim Gimel. We learned yesterday about the Chilukei Kapara, about the different categories of things that a person might do wrong, failing to do a mitzvah seser, doing a regular mitzvah slo seser, doing the kind that involves krisis and mitzvah based in, and doing the kind that involves chilul Hashem, and each one needs more and more kapara than the previous one. So the last one we mentioned was the case where a person does something that makes a chilul Hashem, where we said that there's tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurin, and on top of all that he needs Misa, and only that will completely clean things up. So the Gemara says, "Hechi dami chilul Hashem." What is an example of a chilul Hashem? Now Rashi defines it as chilul Hashem is choti o machti achedim. He himself is doing something wrong and he's causing others to do wrong. So what is an example of something that somebody would do that would have that effect? Omer Rav. So Rav gives an example. Kegoin ana deshakil mabisim bei tabcha. For example, if I would go and buy meat from the butcher, v'ol alto lo yehiv nadami, and I wouldn't give him the money, I wouldn't pay him on the spot. So in other words, other people, so now when I delay paying, he's going to think that I'm a gazlan, says Rashi, and therefore he's going to think that he's going to learn from me that he can be careless with gezel, that he doesn't have to be particularly careful with that. Now, of course, Marshall points out, of course, Rav is going to pay, but the point is that the butcher is going to suspect that he's not going to pay, and that makes a chilul Hashem. In fact, Marsha connects it with the previous piece. The Gemara had established that Chilul Hashem is described in the pasuk. We said the Nigla v'Oznay Hashem Tzvakas. The Navi Yeshaya says that Hashem said in my ears that a Chilul Hashem, the kind of Chilul Hashem that the Jews of his time were doing, is going to require their Misa for Kapara. And what was it where they were saying, Horeg Bacha V'Shachot Tzoyin, we're going to shecht and we're going to eat animals and we're going to live it up eating meat. So now, in continuation with that, then the Gemara is bringing an example involving buying meat. The Gemara points out, Omer Abaye V'Hani Mili V'Astrod L'Tavim. Now, this is only in a place where the storekeepers don't usually go and ask the customers to pay off their bills. Sometimes you have places where Rashi explains where the expected way of doing things is that the buyer himself has to voluntarily at some point go to the butcher and bring him the money, go to his house or go to his store or whatever. As opposed to, Abaye says, Abba'asra the Tavi, if it's a place where the butcher or whatever storekeeper does demand the money, then less one brother, and there's no problem with it because then it's a known thing in such a place that people do that they sell on credit, and they know that any time when as long as they don't come ask you, can you settle your bill, then they know that it's a reasonable thing you're going to be carrying a balance with them. So therefore, that's not considered a chilul Hashem. So in Rav's area, the usual way of doing things was a customer would buy, and the storekeeper wouldn't go to him to say when are you paying. The expectation was that the customer is eventually going to come. So now the butcher was constantly thinking, why hasn't Rav shown up yet to settle his bill? Is he maybe stealing from me? Is it maybe that stealing is not such a serious thing? As opposed to if it was Astra de Tavi, Abaye is saying, if it's a place where the butcher any time can go to Rav's house and say, "Nu, where's my money?" then there's not a Chilul Hashem involved, because then it's an understandable thing that a person carries a balance. Omer Ravina, ha Masa Machasya Astra de Tavi. And in fact, Ravina points out, Masa Machasya, which Rashi says is where Ravina lived, is one of those places where the storekeepers do demand their payments, and therefore, in other words, it would be fine to buy meat there on credit. Why does Ravina have to point that out? The Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says, because the point is, Ravina is saying, in my city, we do it that way because I, or one of the Chachamim before my time, set it up that it should be that way in order to minimize the potential for Chilul Hashem. Therefore, so Ravina is hinting to us, a Rav in a city ought to, if at all possible, make this kind of rule, tell the storekeepers, from now on, do this. Be an Asra de Tavi, be a place where you will go demand from the customers to settle their bills, and that way there's no potential of a Chilul Hashem when someone like Rav comes and buys from you on credit.
The store of meat,
not the butcher is not there. You don't have money with you right now. So Rav is saying, what I would do is I would always pay right there on the spot for the meat that I'm buying. I would never say, write it down for later. because potentially that could be Rav is saying, potentially that would be Chilul Hashem, because if I don't settle my bill right away, then the storekeeper or the butcher may think that I'm trying to steal from him, and he may think that stealing is not that serious a matter. Because it's writing it down, but that's what we're saying. It's Asra Deloitte Tavern. It's not a place where the butchers usually go to demand from their customers, new, when are you going to settle your bill? It's rather the other way around. The expectation is the customer is going to have to come to the store or to the house at some point in order to settle his bill. So now then there's always the concern then, well, why hasn't he come yet? Why hasn't he paid his money yet? Is he maybe trying to skip town without telling me or something? As opposed to Ba'asra the Tavi, in a place where the butchers go to people's houses and they say, "Nu, when are you going to pay up your bill?" Then it's not a chilul Hashem, because then it's an understandable thing. In such places, they know you're going to carry things on credit and you're going to eventually pay up.
Put a sign, no credit.
So if you put a sign, no credit, well, that's in effect the place where Asra Delay Tavi is in effect the place where there's no credit. That's, yeah. Okay. And the Gemara gives another example in this connection. Abaya ki avishokol bistrim bei trei shutvi. When Abaya would buy meat from two partners, so two people owned a butcher shop in partnership, and let's say both of them weren't in the let's say both of them weren't in the store at the same time. He would pay each one separately. That way, neither one is going to think. Again, you have the same problem that one of them may not realize that the money was given to the other one and not to him. So we're not talking about, in other words, he walks into the store to buy meat. Obviously, then only the one who's behind the counter is going to know that he came in. We're talking about, let's say, that he made an order in advance that he's going to get a certain amount of meat. So both of them know that Abaya is going to be picking up X amount of meat, but neither one knows that whether the other one's been paid yet. So Abaya would pay them both, the Karvinu Adadi, then afterwards he would bring them together, and then he would square accounts with them. Same idea. Abaya didn't want that even for a moment either of them should think, hey, Abaya is taking meat without paying. That means that stealing is not such a critical thing, and therefore he would forestall that in the first place. Obviously, it depends on the level of the person. The greater a person than a regular person, you might not expect him to have to do these kinds of things. But Rav or Abaya realize that people are going to learn from every little thing they do, and therefore they have to be extra careful. Another example. Rav Yochanan Amar, Kegoyin Anna, Rav Yochanan says, for example, there would be, if someone like me, Da'azilda, Dalit Amos, Beloy Tefillin, or Beloy Torah, if I were to walk 4 Amos without wearing Tefillin and without learning Torah, then that would be an example of a Chilul Hashem. Now, I might well have a reason for it, Rashi says, I'm very weak from my learning, but people are going to learn from me that it's not so important to be learning or to be wearing Tefillin all the time. Marsha says that explains as far as the learning, as far as tefillin, the votes would be. For example, he had a headache and he couldn't put on tefillin. But again, people wouldn't know that, and they would think it's not important to keep these mitzvahs. So therefore, he's saying that someone like me myself, or someone in my situation who does that, then that would be an example of chilul Hashem. Interestingly, by the way, the Rambam brings in his Akdama to Yad HaChazakah, he brings that Rav was known to never go any place without tefillin or without learning Torah. So apparently, the Rambam had the gusa over here, not Rav Yochanan is saying this, but rather Rav. Anyway, another example: Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini or Dvei Rav Yanai Amar Kol Shachavei Rav Boishin Mishmuasai. A chilul Hashem would be when you have a person where people are embarrassed because of the rumors going around about him. So Marshall gives an example. You find that Bnei Eli is an example of that. So when there are rumors going around about a person, so that's the kind of thing that would be an example of a chilul Hashem. And the Gemara says, "Hey, Chidami, what would be an example of that? What kind of bad rumors?" For example, when people say about him, Hashem should forgive Ploini, because they're saying, in other words, look how badly he's acting. May Hashem forgive him for how badly he's acting. So that would mean, in other words, says the Tosfos Yom Kippurim, it would mean then that he's changing a little bit what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdini said. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdini had said, if there's bechlal, if there's bad rumors going around him. about him. But Reb Nachman would be saying only if the rumors are only if the rumors that he was saying that his friends are embarrassed because of the rumors around him. But Reb Nachman Yitzchak is saying only when it's good, only when people are publicly saying are saying that. Because there's a certain, so it depends actually. Many times when there's rumors going around the person, there's some basis for them. You know, in English you have the expression where there's smoke, there's fire. So sometimes it can be because, for example, in these examples that we just had with Rav or Abaya or Rabbi Yechanan, you could have where a person does something which in and of itself is not wrong, but people can easily misinterpret it and think that he's doing something wrong. We have the concept that it says, V'yisim Nikiyim Ne'ashem V'Yisrael. Yeah, if people are some making up a rumor that has no basis in fact, there's nothing really a person can do about that. But we're talking about apparently where there's some kind of thing that he did that makes it possible for those rumors to be going around, so then he has a responsibility about that. There are other explanations, by the way. Rabbeinu Yohanneson gives an explanation that Sharolei Mori Laplania doesn't mean may Hashem forgive him. It means people are saying, look at the way this guy is acting. What kind of avera is he doing? Hashem, he must think that Hashem gave him permission. Shara can also mean permission. That Hashem must have given him permission to act like that because there's no way he would be doing like that otherwise unless he thought that it was completely mutter. The Gemara actually, the Gemara and the Rif actually have slightly different gersois over here, that the Kegoin de Amri Inshi is not giving an illustration of what we mean Kol Shachaver Boshin Mishmoase, but rather that it's a separate statement. Another example of Chilul Hashem is when people say Shorale Mori Laplania, and then you have another one is Kol Shachaver Boshin Mishmoase. Okay. Abaya Omar. Abaya says, here's another example of a Chilul Hashem and the opposite so far. We haven't really talked about what a Kiddush Hashem is, but now we'll see both of them. So Abaya says, Kiditanya. Look at the following Braisa and you'll get an idea of what Kiddush Hashem versus the opposite is. The Pusik says, Ve'ahasra es Hashem alekecha, you should love Hashem. And that means not just that you personally should love Hashem, it also means Shiyehei Shem Shemayim Mis'ahev al Yodfa. Means Hashem's name should be loved because of you. Meaning, in other words, Marisha says, because why would it say S otherwise? You can't say I have to S Hashem alekecha. You're not necessarily going to say that it means that you should love, like we have when it says S Hashem alekecha tira. So we have the famous thing that it says that Rabbi Akiva Darshan means the rabbis tamen chachamim, that you have to fear tamen chachamim the way you fear Hashem. But when it comes to Abba, Marisha says not necessarily are we assuming that the love of one's rebbe should be comparable to the love of Hashem. Therefore, it means after S Hashem alekecha. What does the S add? That other people should love Hashem the same way you do. How do you accomplish that? A person will be learning Tanakh and learning Mishnayos, or Mishamish Tamar Chachamim and serving Tamar Chachamim, which means that he learns from them the Gemara, he learns the analysis of Mishnayos, and he learns all the other things that he can learn from them. Yeah, the Dibure Benachasim Abrius. Now, such a person, besides being a consummate Talmud Chacham, besides that he's gone through the different parts of Torah that he's supposed to, he speaks gently with people. He does business in the marketplace nicely and honestly. Nicely, as in, for example, it's not even a matter of honesty, but like, for example, nicely, he won't do, for example, a nas dvarim. You have an example, you have a halacha that you're not allowed to go into a store and start asking about the price of something when you have no intention of buying. So that would be included in mekocho, matoni bashok noah, that he acts in an erlicha way. The nois of a nois in Ben Monani, he does business, he buys and sells honestly. Mahabrias Omnimolov. What do people say about such a person? Ashre Plenty Shalomad Torah, happy is this person who learned Torah. Ashre Aviv Shalimda Torah, happy is his father, fortunate as his father who taught him Torah. Ashre Rabbi Shalimda Torah, and fortunate is his Rebbe who taught him Torah. So people realize, in other words, where did he develop this? Where did he develop these qualities? Must be from his father and from his Rebbe. And people say, Fakert, Oy Lahem Lubnei Adam Shalom Lomdu Torah. People say, Oy lahem levnei adam shalei lomdu Torah. In fact, woe to people who don't learn Torah, because in other words, we see that people who learn Torah and behave with such fine midas, so it would be so much better if more people learned Torah and they would develop these kinds of midas as well. Because they continue saying, Re'isim Pliny, Shalomad Torah, do you see, look at Pliny, who learned Torah, Kami Yochim Drochav, how beautiful are his ways, Kami Misaponim Maisav, how proper are his actions. All of Akosav Omer, this is the kind of person that the Pasuk says about him, Vayomer li Abdiata, Hashem said to me, you are my servant, Yisrael, Asher B'chor Esfar, Yisrael, that I take pride in you. So a Yid acts that way, Abaya says, that would be an example of a Kiddush Hashem. What about if a person has learned Torah, all the different parts, Mikra and Mishnah, and learning Talmud, but the but he doesn't speak gently with people, when he's taking and giving in the marketplace, he doesn't do it in such an erlich way, he doesn't do business honestly. And we don't even have to mean that we mean that he does blatantly, like he blatantly goes and cheats customers. We can mean, in other words, like he cuts corners a little bit. But still, ma brias omrim olav, what do people omer solav, what do people say about him? Fakir, they say, oilo the plenty shalom atorah, woe to this person who learned Torah. Oilo the oviv shalim de Torah, oilo the rabbi shalim de Torah, woe to his father and to his rebbe who taught him Torah. And people say, fakir, ashre bnei adam shalom de Torah. People are fortunate when they didn't learn Torah because you have an example. Pliny Shalom Torah, Ru'u Kama Mechorim Maisav. This guy learned Torah, and look how ugly are his deeds, Kama Mechorim Dirachav, and how messed up are his ways. All of Akosav Omer, this is the kind of person the Pasuk describes, Be'emur, Hashem is talking about the tremendous Chil Hashem that's caused by Golos. Hashem says, Be'emur Lahem, to the Goyim say about the Jewish people, I'm Hashem Elah, look, this is Hashem's people, and yet they left his land, they had to leave his land, why? Because they went into Golos. So in other words, Rashi says that's exactly the point. When you have a person does these kinds of things, and Hashem punishes them, and Bechlal you have on a national level, it happens to the Jewish people collectively, including the Chachamim. So people think, the Goyim think, that look, this is Am Hashem, and yet he couldn't save them, so that reduces Hashem's cover. So you have to act in a way that should cause a Kiddush Hashem, and not the opposite.
That's with the commentary on that, because a lot of now religious people also.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the Gemara is mentioning over here a person that caught a v'shonim v'shimish tamen chachamim only because if he's stam a yid off the street and people see him acting badly, that's not going to lead them to discredit Torah. Yeah. Nowadays, really, this applies more generally to any person who has the appearance of a frum yid, and frankly, a lot of times even when they don't have the appearance of a frum yid. So nowadays we're not necessarily talking about somebody who went through all of the system and came out of a consummate Talmud Chacham Stam, a yid who walks down the street with a yarmulke and a beard and payas and whatever. Then yeah, you have the same kind of thing. He has to make sure to act in a way that'll bring a Kiddush Hashem. Okay.
Yeah, there is
that. Yeah. Okay. Onward, going back to, so now that the Mishnah had talked about the importance of Tshuva, so now the Gemara is going to go into talking about a big piece of Agada on the importance of Tshuva and on what it accomplishes. So first, Amar of Chama Brav Hanina, G'doyla Tshuva Shemavir Refuah La'olam. Tshuva is a tremendous thing, it brings healing to the world. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Shuvu Vonim Shovavim, Hashem says, return you wayward and stubborn children, Erepov Gomer, and I will heal. So that shows that by returning, Hashem is saying, that by doing tshuva, Hashem is saying, I will heal you. So in other words, so we see that tshuva brings healing. Marsha has a different gusa, that the Gemara is not bringing that pasuk, but rather a different pasuk. Erpa Meshuvasam, Hashem says at the end of Hashem, we read it on Shabbos Tshuva, appropriately enough. The pasuk says Erpa Meshuvasam, Hashem says I will heal their backsliding, Oyavim the Dovah, and I'll love them with a free love. So we see also that Tshuva is described as healing. Now Marsha points out the vote is that the other psukim that talk about healing in connection with tshuva could be talking about that maybe tshuva is being maybe healing is being used as a metaphor tshuva. So therefore, so it's not a strong proof from there that you actually have healing is brought to the world by tshuva. But when you have the pasuk, when you have the pasuk erpa meshuvasam, implying, in other words, Marsha says the implication is that there still is some meshuva left. There's still some like a scar left over from the avera, and nevertheless, even the beginning, or it's even still meshuvasam, is still in a state of backsliding, still in a state of being somewhat disobedient to Hashem. Nevertheless, already erpa. Nevertheless, there's already a healing because tshuva brings healing to the world. In what way does Teshuvah bring healing to the world? Ilan Yaakov points out one point of it may mean that when people do Teshuvah, then Hashem makes it possible for doctors to discover new cures. You have all the time when the doctors are discovering new treatments and new cures for things. So Ilan Yaakov says that means through a person's Teshuvah, Hashem brings about, let's say he himself was sick with a certain illness, and then the doctors didn't know what to do for it. Now they'll be able to discover something. And once they discover it for him, then of course it affects, it's good for everybody else as well. So yeah, that's maybe before La'olam, not just for him personally. Yeah. So the Gemara continues, Rav Chama bar Chanina Rami. He also pointed out a contradiction between two psukim. Ksiv shuvu vanim shovavim. One pasuk says, return you wayward children. One person, Mepashtos said one person is an Olam Mala, yeah.
One person with a proper good shoe would have a great machine.
This is also true, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So Rav Chama bar Chanina Rami. Ksiv shuvu vanim shovavim. One pasuk says, return you wayward children. Now that implies that even after you do tshuva, you're still going to be considered shovavim. There's still going to be some remnant left of your aveva. On the other hand, you have the pasuk Erpo Meshuvah Seichem, which implies that he's like a Baal Mum, or the other way around, actually. Rashi explains, Shuvavonim Shovavim implies you won't be Shovavim anymore, Demi'ikra Shovavim Atem, before you were Shovavim, before you were wayward and disobedient, but now you're going to be a whole new Metzius. As opposed to Erpo Meshuvah Seichem implies that even after I heal you, Meshuvah Seichem, there's still going to be some remnant of your disobedience left. And the answer is like Kasha, Kan Me'ava, Kan Me'ira. It depends whether he does Tshuva Me'ava or Tshuva Me'ira. Tshuva Me'ava, then it's as if the Aveda never existed. And later on, even the Gemara talks out, it talks about that even it can become a Zonis Nasaloi Kazophius. Whereas here we're talking about Me'ira, so therefore there's still something left of it. Similarly, Omer of Yehuda, Rav Ami Rami, similarly, you have Rav Yehuda, Rav Ami pointed out another contradiction between Sukkim. The Ksiv Shuvu Vonim Shevim Erpa Meshuvay Seichem. Here you have one pasuk that says, you return, you disobedient children, I will heal your waywardness, which implies that Bale Tshuva are called Hashem's children. Ochtiv, but then you have another pasuk. Hashem says, Ki Anochi Ba'alti Vachem. As a couple of psukim later, Hashem says, I have dominated you, like a Baal is like a master over a slave. I'll bring you back, even if it's only one from a whole city or two from a whole family that have done Shuvah. I'll pick you out from among everybody else and bring you back. So, and there, since it says Ba'alti Vachem, then Rashi explains, so the implication is Hashem is calling them Avadim. So what is it? Are Baal Shuvah like Bonim or like Avadim? And the answer is like Kasha, Kan Me'ava Umiyiro, or Umiyira, Kan Alidei Surim. It depends. Was the Tshuva through Ava, or at least through Yira? Fine, Tshuva Me'ira is not as great as Tshuva Me'ava, but it's still a lot better than, it's still a higher kind of Tshuva, and therefore that makes the person deserving to be called Hashem's child. On the other hand, Kan Alidei Surim, if the only way the Tshuva happened was through Yisurim, then we're saying that the person has only reached the level of an Eved, and not the level of a Ben yet. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi brings a different... Yisurim is Ebed. The Abba Yiro would be Bonin, right. Rashi gives a second explanation, which is that the Gemara is pointing out the contradiction between the Psukim, where one Pasuk according to Rashi's second Girsa, the Gemara did not first quote the word Shuvu Bonim Shuvim, but rather a different Pasuk that says Shuvu Eliv or Shuvu Aleichem. Hashem says, return to me, and I will return to you. In other words, that Pasuk is implying that you, Jewish people, have to make the first move. Yeah. On the other hand, Ki Anochi Ba'alti Bachem would imply that Hashem makes the first move. So then the answer would be, that Tan Me'ava Umiyira, then Hashem is saying I have to take the first step, as opposed to, when you have Me'ava Umiyira, then it means you've taken the first step. On the other hand, Ayde Yisurim, then it means Ki Anochi Ba'alti Bachem. Hashem is saying I have to force the issue by bringing Yisurim. So according to Rashi's second explanation, that's what the Gemara is pointing out, the contradiction in resolving. Rashi himself doesn't like that second explanation. However, Marshall says that actually that second explanation is that second explanation fits very nicely with what we have in the Gemara and Sanhedrin on the subject of how is Mashiach going to come. You have the opinion, Ein Yisro on the Ga'olin Ela B'Tshuva, Rabbi Eliezer saying over there, Ein Yisro on the Ga'olin Ela B'Tshuva, and Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Yeshua saying to them, what about this Pasuk? And the Gemara brings over there, it's a different Yisroes over there, whether it's Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Eliezer saying that Hashem will bring Melech Kosher Kahaman, and that'll force the issue. So then, our Gemara is fitting with that point over here. Here, Hashem is saying, on the one hand, he's saying Shuvu Vanim Shuvim, meaning you voluntarily, you take the first step and come to Tshuva. On the other hand, Hinei Anochi Ba'alti Bachem, that Hashem is saying, I am dominating you, and I am going to force the issue by bringing a Melech Kosher Kahaman. And again, then the answer would be depends what motivation for Tshuva they have. So One way or the other, Yisrael Osin Shuvah, Miyadhein Nigolin, but how that Shuvah is going to be motivated, there are different possibilities. Now we see in the last couple of months, we have the Melech Kosher Kahaman, and indeed it has caused an enormous amount of Shuvah that didn't exist before. So that's in Eretz Yisrael and in the whole world at large because of that. Yeah.
We get an email from a lady. She's in a place in America that the whole place is totally left. They get Israel.
Yeah.
She decided she wants to start lighting candles. She searches the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds us. So we asked her to confirm what's your mother's name. She took her 3-4 days to figure out the mother's name. We stopped. So I'm going to ship out the candles.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying it's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's an enormous amount of Yisrael Shuvah that has been in the last couple of months, ever since in Pasterna. So yeah, this is an example where Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua, according to the different Yisrael, is saying over there that Hashem, if need be, will force the issue because you have people who otherwise might not have done Shuvah, but Hashem is causing things to happen that motivates them to do Shuvah in a way that they might not have before. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Levi, Gdoila Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKavod. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It reaches all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. Now, what does that mean? On one level, it means exactly that. In other words, you have Hashem's Kisei HaKavod is very high up, and Tshuva is so great that it reaches even to that. You have the example the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin when involving Menashe Melech Yehuda, where the Malachim were trying to block his Tshuva, and Hashem Kaviyachal had to dig a tunnel under the Kisei HaKavod to accept his Tshuva. Rabbeinu Hananel on this Gemara explains it also means even if the person's Avera is so serious that it reaches all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. For example, the person was denying Elikus, that reaches all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. Nevertheless, Tshuva can undo that. And Marsha talks about over here that the vort is that usually you have to have malachim that bring a person's mitzvahs and averus in front of Hashem. You have malachim that have to bring his tefillas in front of Hashem. You have defending malachim, accusing malachim, and so on and so forth. Here we're saying tshuva, you don't need any of that. It just bypasses all the malachim and goes straight to the Kisei HaKavod. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha begomer. As the pasuk says, return Yisrael until Hashem you're gone. That means that your tshuva goes straight until up to Hashem. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Omer ad v'loy ad bichlal. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, as great as tshuva is, when we say ad, doesn't mean it reaches all the way to Hashem, to the Kisei HaKavod. It means it reaches v'loy ad bichlal. It doesn't quite make it there. It goes to a very high level, but not quite that much. So the Gemara asks, to me, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? And by the way, this whole piece that's in parenthesis over here is not in the printed Gemara. In the printed Gemara, it just has Rabbi Yochanan's next statement is given as a separate statement, not directly related to what we had before, only here in Ein Yaakov, are they tied in together over here? So the question is, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, G'dola Tshuva Shadoiches Loise Sesha B'Torah? You want to know how great Tshuva is? It overrides a loisese in the Torah. Shenema, you have like this. We know that the Torah tells us that if a woman was married and then divorced from her husband and she remarries somebody else, she's never allowed to return to her first husband. Right. Now, however, the Navi says, Yumiya says, Lamer, it's said, you can look in the Torah and you can see it said, Hey Yishalach Ishas Ishtoi, imagine a man divorces his wife, Vahocha Me'ita, and she goes and she leaves him, Vahoysa Le'ishacha V'gomer, and she marries another man. Can she ever return to her first husband? No. But add, but the pasuk continues, nevertheless, even though you Jewish people have acted like that, you've acted as though Hashem has divorced you, and you've gone and worshipped the Geshkes, nevertheless, v'shoiv elai ne'um Hashem, Hashem says, you can return to me. So in other words, so we see that Tshuva, in that sense, is overriding this loiseser and saying that we say that even though the Jewish people have been mizana and ought to, by rights, be also, so to speak, to their husband, nevertheless, they're not. So we see from that also that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can be just as close as you were before. Marsha explained the point of the question is, in other words, if we're saying, what are we saying when we say so like we said, like Marsha said, it means that there don't need to be any emsoyim. You don't need any intermediaries to bring your tshuva to the Eibush, that goes flies straight up there. Well, on the other hand, here we have first Rabbi Yochanan saying ad v'loy ad b'chlal. It doesn't quite reach all the way up to Hashem. It needs malachim to bring them. But here we see from this pasuk that we're quoting from Yirmiyah that the Jewish people can go back to their same level of closeness to Hashem, like a husband and wife, where you don't need any go-betweens between them. So what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? What's the story after Tshuva? Do there still need to be go-betweens, or do there not? And the answer is like Kasha, Habi Yochanan, Habi Tzibur. The answer is, one's talking about when a yochid does tshuva, the other the tzibur, so the tzibur's tshuva is much more powerful, and therefore that's the Navi is saying that Hashem will accept you with the same degree of ava that he had before, as opposed to when a yochid does tshuva, then his tshuva is all very nice and all, but he still needs amtsoi, and he still needs the malachim to help bring his tshuva to Hashem. Although Rabbeinu Chananel, that's how Marsha understands it, although it seems that Rabbeinu Chananel maybe actually understands it the other way around, that when the tzibur does tshuva, there's like something left over there, because after all, it was a whole tzibur that went wrong, whereas a yochid might be able to go directly up to Hashem.
What's it mean here, tzibur?
A tzibur means the whole tzibur, Bash is the majority of the Jewish people, yeah.
One person to do tshuva can turn the whole world.
Yeah, one person doing tshuva, yeah. Amr Rav Yosi Agrili, or Rav Yochanan, G'doyla Tshuva Shemaviyah Ge'ola. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It brings Ge'ola, or a different gear set. It's in the Gemara. Shemakareves Esa Ge'ola. It brings the Ge'ola closer. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vola Tzion Goyal, a Redeemer will come to Tzion, Ola Shove Fesh Abiyakov, and to those who have returned, who have done Tshuva from their rebellious Averis among Yaakov. So those two things go together. My time over Tzion Goyal. Why is the Goyal going to come to Tzion? Mishum al Shavu Pesha v'Yaakov, because you have people among Yaakov, and Yaakov mean the lower level of the Jewish people, and that they were Pesha, that they were deliberately rebelling against Hashem, and nevertheless Shavu, they do Tshuva, and therefore that brings a Tzion Goyal.
Sounds like
yeah. So that's all of this. And Amr Rav Yonasan, G'doyla Tshuva, Shemakarevis Gula La'olam. Here's another pasuk that shows that Tshuva brings Gula closer to the world. Shenema, Hashem says, Shimru Mishpat Fasu Tzedaka, guard Mishpat, the Mishpatim of the Torah, Vasu Tzedaka, and do Tzedaka, and both of these things are part of Tshuva. Throughout Sefer Yeshaya, he's telling the people you're failing to do mishpat, you're failing to do tzedakah, and therefore Hashem is upset with you. So you now in the opposite, they're going to be watching mishpat and doing tzedakah, then that's their tshuva. It's called where a person does tshuva, as the Rambam gives the example, when a person is in the same situation as he was before and has the same abilities as he does before, and so on and so forth, and now he does the exact opposite, that's the highest level of tshuva. So that's the Shimur Mishvasu Tzedakah. And Hashem continues, Ki Krovet Shuasi Lavo, because my saving is close to come, but Tzidkosi Lehi Golos, and my Tzedakah is very near to being revealed. So we see that the tshuva of Shimur Mishvasu Tzedakah is going to bring the Ge'ul very quickly. Amen. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Chav Zayin rather, Tevis, Zayin Tevis. You have the pasuk that describes Mashiach. It says, Ki Yoldat Tzion is, Ki Cholagam Yoldat Tzion is Banach. Tzion, personified as a mother, has been in labor and given birth to her sons. So specifically, why we mention sons is because giving birth to a boy represents the power of a boy being stronger, represents the power of the Geula HaMitzvah Shlema, which is Geula Nitzchis, the eternal Geula, where there's no Geulus after it, that Geula through Mashiach came. So in other words, the Yolda Zohar, also in the Torah, when it says Ishak Tazriya, the Yolda Zohar, this was actually from a Sikha of Parshas Tazriya Metzora. So the Yolda Zohar represents the birth and the revelation of the Neshama of Mashiach, which comes from the highest level from Alma de Dechor. Continuing on halachas of Kiddush, when you've made Kiddush, you should drink at least Kimloy Lugmav without a break from the cup. Kimloy Lugmav is defined as the amount that it would take to fill up one cheek. Maloy Lugmav literally means both cheekfuls, but the Gemara explains that it means because when you look from the side, when you see one cheek full, you think the other one is also. It's defined Kimloy Lugmav is defined as most of a revius. The best thing is that everybody should taste from the Kosher Bracha. Now, if somebody doesn't drink wine for whatever reason, because of a neder, because it's bad for him or whatever, then he shouldn't make Kiddush on wine, having in mind that other people will drink. However, according to the Alter Rebbe, he could do exactly that. He could make Kiddush with the intention that somebody else will drink when he's not going to drink because it's bad for his health or whatever. Another halacha in this regard, Kiddush wine is considered part of Tzorchei Asoda. It's part of the necessities of a meal, because you can't have a meal on Shabbos without making Kiddush first. Therefore, you don't make an extra brach after it, because it'll be covered by Birkas HaMazon. However, there are poskim who hold that it doesn't. Therefore, ideally, if they're to follow those poskim, you would have to drink after Birkas HaMazon, make a brach on a cup of wine, if you're going to be benching ala kos anyway, and drink a revius, and then when you make a brach achrona, you would also have in mind the cup of Kiddush. Lamaisa, I don't think we see very many people doing that unless they're making a mezuman ala kos anyhow, because the fact is the Alter Rebbe does paskin that it is mitzorchei asuda, and therefore it is covered by the bracha achrona. As far as when you drink wine during the suda, that you also don't have to make a bracha, because then that's covered by the bar piagofen of Kiddush. It is tzorchei asuda, but on the other hand, it is a thing of its own. It does have a certain status of its own, and usually also tzorchei asuda is usually things that are besoich asuda. Here it's not besoich asuda; it's before it. So there would be reason to there is a basis to argue then that it's not that it's not covered. But since the majority opinion is that it is, so therefore you don't have to make an after bracha. Therefore you don't make an after bracha because sofik bracha is lahakol. But you don't necessarily have to do this thing of drinking a cup of wine afterwards to be motzi. If you drink during the sud, that's the next thing he said, that you don't make a bracha, because that's definitely covered by the Bor Priyagofen of Kiddush.